Good afternoon, Tim.
Good afternoon, Tom.
How are you doing today? Are you feeling awake?
Well, yes, because I had to scrape the ice off my car this morning, so I'm very, very awake. And it was that's a tough job, isn't it? I'm so desperate to get my car in a garage, and I can't quite manage it yet. We've still got stuff in the garage in the way, and need to get rid of some of it. So it was a tough old job this morning, scraping the car. It's one of those mornings where it's clearly gone to freezing and then it's rained, you know, and you get these little lumps of rain. It just freezes as soon as it goes on the windscreen, and that's the hardest to get in. And I haven't got a snazzy car that has a front window heater on it or whatever, and heating for your car seats or anything like that, you know. So, never mind.
On that note, my mum's old car, she had a lovely little blue Ford Fiesta, and that had one of those fancy screens. It wasn't a fancy car, but it did have a fancy screen. But unfortunately, over time, what happens to the fancy screen was that filaments started to stop working. And so by the end of the time that mum had that car, she sort of, if she turned it on, the front screen would resemble a zebra of ice and clear. So it became something that was absolutely useless. And I feel like when she turned it on, one would break every time, because I don't know whether it was working overtime and it was trying to really heat it up. So I think it's a case of when those features on a car work, it's great. But actually, as you've proven, the manual method does still work, and it is reliable, even if a little tiring.
Yes. But, you know, hey, a beautiful day. And it was a lovely start to a lovely day. And, very refreshing, isn't it? Anyway, enough of all that.
Yes.
What about your start to the day? Gone well?
I had a very late night. I'm sure some people who are listening were very interested in the ongoing proceedings in America, and it's clearly not been resolved yet. I don't know whether by the time you listen to this, whether there is a definitive outcome. I highly doubt it.
Unless you're listening in 2 weeks' time, maybe.
Yes, 2 weeks' time. Yeah. So hello if you're listening to us from the future, and you already know what's happened with the with the results. But it is, I suppose it comes back to that thing of whatever we say about things in our country, I think there's occasions when we can be glad we don't live in other countries. And clearly this is something that is going to be very difficult to resolve, and a challenging time for people who are living in America. Even the Christians aren't united over things. It can become incredibly divisive. And, you know, we think back to all the various debates and elections we've had in the UK, and then sort of turn it up to 11 for what's going on in America right now. So much to be prayerful of and pray into. On our Facebook page, we put up a load of prayer points on our Facebook page earlier in the week, and you should still be able to access that also through our church website. It should still be appearing on the right hand side of the page. And so if you're wanting to continue to pray into it, then do check out the prayer points that we put up. They can be really helpful to guide your thoughts and prayers at this time over the current situation in America.
And I think it just reflects, doesn't it? This is a really tough time, and an election comes in the middle of what is already a tough period of time. And you know, not only coronavirus and Black Lives Matter issues and all that has brought, particularly, you know, within America. But, you know, it's important that we continue to reflect on all those things, and we navigate our way through in the light of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in the midst of those things as well, doesn't it? And I think that's a very real challenge of what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus, not only during these times, but of course every day, and what are the things that matter the most in terms of how we live with all this uncertainty and anxiety, and you know the new lockdown coming in tomorrow, the 5th of November. So there's a lot to consider, isn't there? And I think it's good for us to reflect on, you know, my role, our role, each of our roles as followers of Jesus. What does it look like? I mean, Jesus called people to follow him, you know, when he came to live on earth, you know, in very traumatic times and divisive times, Roman occupation, poverty, famine, you know, a class system that was incredibly divided, all sorts of challenges. And Jesus came into that place, didn't he? In order to call people to follow him and to live up to that calling that he gave upon them and he still gives to us. So, yeah, good to reflect a little bit perhaps today on what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus.
Mm. And I suppose to help guide us through the next sort of 10, 15 minutes or so, I was reflecting back on the fruit of the Spirit, something that we looked at as a church a while ago, and I'm sure many people have probably, you know what they are, but it's been very difficult to show them. And the passage can be found in Galatians chapter 5, and kind of looking through the whole of the chapter, the chapter starts out talking about the freedom that we find when we are in Christ. But it asks a question to the church in Galatia about then, why was it you were doing this at the start, but now you're in this point of confusion and uncertainty and you're no longer continuing to be fruitful? And then Paul goes on to kind of share what the fruit of the Spirit are as a reminder of the characteristics that Christians should be showing. And so this is starting at verse 22. And this is Paul talking about what life in the flesh looks like and then how we can live when we set out to follow Jesus. So this is Galatians 5, starting at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. And when I read that passage, it kind of got me thinking, okay, so how am I doing with this? How am I doing with these things of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? And I guess the immediate one that jumped out to me was joy. Because if people saw me on Sunday, the Sunday just gone, I think most people would have said, Tom right now is not showing joy. Tom has not got joy pouring out of his life, because I can hold my hand up and say, I was an absolute grump. And this is what the effect of a change in your lifestyle means, and the effect that something like a national lockdown can have, that some of these things that we always take for granted before we're put under restrictions actually show up and we notice, hang on a minute, I'm not doing a very good job of it. I think love is something that is easy for me to show. I've got a lovely wife and I've got a dog who I show affection to all the time. So keep going with your families. But at the same time, there are going to be people who we're going to need to show love to, even though it might be something that's difficult. And we all have people that we are involved with. I'm sure that everyone in our church family has somebody that they are involved with in some capacity. And I can think back to one person last week in particular that I know it was, I won't say who it was, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying, but I had a slightly painful moment where I spent quite a bit longer with them than I wanted to. But I realised that that was something that was incredibly important to do at that time. It was someone going through a bit of a rough patch. And for me, the best thing I could do at that moment was to just show them unequivocal love. Just be with them and spend time. And I know that it's difficult to spend time with people, but even just last night, as we were doing our Bible study on Ruth chapter 2 as a church family, someone from our church was reminding us that, you know, we can still spend time with people. We can still show love to people through video calls and through sending notes to people, sending a letter. I mean, come on, when was the last time you sent a letter to somebody? Sending letters and things like that. So there's ways of thinking about how we can show them. But I guess over the next few weeks, I think it's going to become something that we're going to have to pay attention to as a church, but also as individuals. How do we show these fruits of the Spirit to those who are in our church, to those who are in our families, and to those who are in our immediate surroundings, whether that's neighbours or friends from afar, anybody?
Mm. Yeah, it's a massive challenge, Tom, and thank you for flagging up that you were a bit grumpy on Sunday. I didn't like to mention it, but well done. But yeah, I think we all reflect on these, and we know, don't we? We know, you know, when when things are not quite in sync with what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. You know, we know where, when, you know, we've been a bit short, or where we haven't shown patience, you know, where we haven't had that sense of peace in our lives. Yeah, we know when, you know, we've missed an opportunity to be kind. You know, we know that thing. And this is not to beat anybody up, because, you know, all of us fall short, don't we? We, you know, Paul says we fall short of the glory of God. And these nine character traits, you know, that form this fruit of the Spirit, you know, they're not there to chastise us. You know, they're there to encourage us, to pull us on to something better than we could have been. I was listening to something this morning, actually, and it was a really interesting thing I hadn't really thought about. And this goes way back to the Garden of Eden, right in the beginning, when the devil, the enemy, the serpent, said to Adam and Eve, you know, if you eat this fruit, then you'll be like God. And this person commented that actually that they were already like God, because they hadn't sinned yet. Up to that moment, they hadn't done anything wrong. They were created in the image of God from the beginning. And so before they disobeyed, they were already in a place that the enemy was telling them that they could still be. And I think it's that sort of confidence of who we are already in Christ. You know, we're not God, are we? Of course we're not. You know, we're not, but we are made in the image of God. And so what we already are, and Paul says this, I want you to live up to it. I think it's in Galatians chapter 5 a little bit earlier, or maybe somewhere else. I'm sure it's somewhere else, where Paul says, you know, live up to the calling that you have. You know, live up to it. You've already got it. That this is what you have in Christ. And so, you know, that we don't need to feel defeated every time we're a bit grumpy or we're not kind, you know, but we recognize it. And through the presence of the Spirit, Paul says, keep in step with the Spirit, keep in step with what he's doing. And this is who we are. And I think the Bible is so good at reminding us who we are, where the enemy is so good at reminding us how bad we are. So I think this is an ongoing challenge, and particularly as we sort of almost steel ourselves for tomorrow, you know, there's still so much that we can be and become as we trust, you know, the Holy Spirit to be the one who fills us with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and everything else. But yeah, it struck me last night that when we were doing Ruth chapter 2, that this whole aspect of kindness, and if you weren't able to be on at the Bible study, I would really encourage you to have a read of Ruth chapter 2 and just look at the simple kindness that was expressed by Boaz to Ruth, and by Ruth to Naomi. And I think it's a really compelling story, because it's such an ordinary story and something that all of us can associate with. And just that choice to express that kindness and love and goodness and all those other traits in that ancient story. So, yeah, it's certainly been a good thing, I think, for us to understand again and to wrestle with in this journey we're all facing.
Well, back at the very tail end of the first lockdown we had, so this was kind of the start of May, I can remember being in a group session. It was with youth leaders from all across the country, and it's kind of come out of Holy Trinity Brompton Church. It's one of their tracts of teaching that they offer. And one of the people who were sharing things on that morning was talking about exactly this. I hadn't really remembered it up until we talked about it just now. But they were saying that actually for all of us, when we're showing these, when we're trying to show these fruits, sometimes it just requires a little bit more effort from us. Just a little bit. Mm. And the reason that they said that was that, take a tree, imagine a tree that's outside. A tree does not try and grow fruit all day, every day. At night time, a tree is not trying to grow any fruit. When the weather conditions are bad and windy, a tree is not trying to grow fruit. What happens when a tree tries to do it when it's really difficult? Bad things happen, or it's just not going to get anywhere. But it's only when you get the right amount of sun, water, carbon dioxide, that the tree can develop healthy roots. And it's the roots that enable the tree to grow as it should and to develop the fruit. And then they went off and they continued to talk about the parable of the sower. And they said that on that story, it's the importance of the roots. the fact that because the roots were able to be placed into the ground, it was then that the seeds were able to grow. And then it came on to the last thing, and this was the thing that stuck with me, and it has stuck with me all the way through, that there's the passage in John chapter 15 where Jesus says that he is the vine and that we are the branches. And in that moment, Jesus is the roots. Jesus has provided all of the kind of growth for us, and all we have to do is remain attached to him in order to bear fruit. And so this idea of being in Christ comes back to what is said at the start of Galatians chapter 5. Remaining in Christ is an essential part of what it is, the reason why we can show fruit of the Spirit. And this freedom and growth comes from being in Christ. And so through this period, think about the fruits of the Spirit. Think about each of them individually, and almost as I did before I came onto this podcast with Tim, go through each one and kind of have a look and say, okay, so how am I doing with this? Not everybody is going to show every single fruit of the Spirit all the time. When we were doing the sermon series on this a few months ago, it was very clear that some people found it difficult with certain things. We were getting people to stand up at which one of the fruit they found the most difficult. And a lot of people stood up on patience, a lot of people stood up on kindness, self-control, all of these things. So obviously people acknowledge which ones they're not good at, but maybe it's worth going over a self-reflection at this point and just writing down the 9 fruits and just say, how are you doing right now with these things? Because as soon as I did that, I realised, love, yeah, okay, I'm fine with love. And then I looked at joy and I just thought, No, actually, I'm not being joyful. I'm being joyful in some aspects, but I'm certainly not showing joy. And as I went down the rest of the list, I realised that there's some things that I'm doing okay at, some things I'm not, some things that I know I need to work on. And I think just going through that process helped me to sort of say, okay, so what is it that I'm going to push into in order to help me be more fruitful, for me to bear more fruit, show more fruit during this next 4 weeks? And we know it may not be 4 weeks. We only have to turn on the news to realise it may be longer. But let's work on the principle that it's going to be 4 weeks. What, for the next month, are we able to push into? What are we able to say? Look, Lord, I want you to help me with this. I'm going to place my roots in you because I want to get better at this aspect of my life. And when we work on our relationship with God through things like prayer, reading the Bible, and just spending time, it does allow us to kind of go deeper into God and to put our roots deeper into him. And things are going to not just go in one ear, they're going to go in both ears. We're going to bear fruit from what we learn, hear, do and say.
And that is the key, Tom, isn't it? And I think as we, you know, go into this 4 week period, what's really important again is that we develop these good habits, these good spiritual habits, really. And there's nothing wrong with a good habit, is there? I can think of some bad habits, but there's nothing wrong with a good habit, and how important that Sunday habit is, you know, to make a real conscious decision that at 10:30 on Sunday morning, I'm going to sit down either on my own or with others in my household, and I'm going to watch and engage in the service that's put out on YouTube. I'm going to do that, and nothing's going to stop me from doing that. I'm going to make a habit of reading the Bible because, as you said, you know, to stay attached to the vine, to receive the life that flows from Jesus, we need to engage with the living word. So encourage you to make a habit, a daily habit. Doesn't have to be at 4 o'clock in the morning. It can be any time when you're at your best to engage with the word. It doesn't have to be a long passage. It can just be a couple of verses and reflect on them. So make a good habit of connecting with God's word, and then make a habit of connecting with people as well. Try your very best to find time to connect with people, however you can do that during this lockdown period. So good habits, staying attached, staying connected to God, to one another, then I think this fruit will grow and develop and we'll begin to flourish, and our lives will make an amazing difference to the people who we bump into as well. So it's good.
And if we are all in Christ and we're attached to the vine, then even whilst we're forced to be separate from one another physically, we must remember that we are all still together.
Yeah, that's good.
We're still all attached to the same vine. We are connected to one another, even now when we're entering back into this isolation physically. It's wonderful, and it's great to be able to be reminded of that.
Thanks, Tom, for reminding us of that. That's set me off well for the rest of this week.
And the next 3.5 weeks after
And the next period of time as well. But hey, lots to look forward to. And Christmas coming up, Advent season. Advent calendars with lots of chocolate behind them. I hope you managed to get one of those before it's too late. And
well, my mum has said she's bought me one, but I have not yet got one for Becca. But supermarkets are staying open, aren't they? And I think an advent calendar probably is essential, isn't it?
Essential.
Absolutely. So
if you can't get an advent calendar, just get 25 bars of chocolate and eat one a day.
25? You have one on Christmas Day.
Chocolate, of course, yes.
Oh, Tim, we're going to have words. That's not a traditional advent calendar, but anyway.
No, it's not, is it? Okay.
When we grew up, ours always only went to 24, so it was always a point of contention. But we were kindly reminded by my mum and dad that there was a high likelihood there would be an amount of chocolate in our Christmas stocking. That and an orange.
Although
my sister didn't
like
oranges.
And
so
a piece
I got two.
And a piece of coal as well, of course.
Yes, we did. We used to have a coal in our old house. We actually had a coal bunker type thing. So mum and dad always put a piece of coal into it. We never used the fire. There was a fire, but we never used it. Anyway, we're digressing. I think now more than ever, it is important for us to pray.
Yeah.
And it's important for us to pray over the coronavirus situation sweeping across our land again. Doctors are being inundated with people they need to care for, and clearly the state of the country has led us to this second national lockdown. And so we want to continue praying, and we will continue to pray every week over the coronavirus pandemic. And our prayers come from Unite 714, a movement set up at the start of the pandemic to enable people from all across the country to pray a united prayer. And so as we enter into this time of prayer, I want to share with you a reading from John chapter 16, starting at verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come, but when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So, let's pray. Lord, we live in an hour of shakings. COVID-19 still lingers. Our economies have been impacted, and many of our nations are rife with the pain of division, polarisation, and separation. In some parts of our world, the winds of war are beginning to blow. Your people are being persecuted, and millions are on the verge of starvation. Yet, in the middle of these shakings, we take our stand on the fact that we have received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Mm. Heavenly Father, we are thankful that your kingdom is unshakable. Mm. We come boldly before your throne, asking for the faith and peace we need to take our stand in this hour. We're also thankful for your mitigation of COVID-19, and we cry out for its complete eradication across the world.
Awesome God, in the midst of these shakings, we believe divine contractions are also taking place. These are the birth pangs of revival and a great awakening. We choose to press forward mightily in prayer. Bring a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon our lands. Lord, may the words of this prayer resound through the courts of heaven and shake the gates of hell. Send revival. Pour out your Holy Spirit worldwide and awaken your church. Let us see the conversion of millions of precious souls.
Heavenly Father, we live in an hour with an impending sense of revival throughout your church across the world. You promise not to shut the womb at the moment of delivery, as Isaiah 66 promises. Today we claim that ancient promise. Help us to continue persevering in prayer until the spiritual walls of resistance crumble and our world is shaken by revival. Lord, as your church stands unified in prayer, we ask that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit on our planet. Fill us afresh with your divine love and let us be a barricade against the polarization and division that fractures the cities and nations of our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Powerful prayer.
Yes, a very powerful prayer.
We'll see God bring it to fruition.
Yes, we must continue to push into it and pray into it. Thank you so much for joining me today, Tim.
Thank you, Tom.
It's a pleasure, as always. And for those of you who are joining us at the weekend, do try and make sure you join us live. So that'd be at 10:30, as it will help with the timing of an act of remembrance that we'll be holding at 11 a.m. Until then, have a wonderful time. Stay safe. We hope that the first few days of lockdown aren't too painful. And if they are, then do please get in touch with us, because we would love to chat with you, support you in any way at all. We will do everything that we're legally able to do to help you out in your circumstance. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. And we'll see you on Sunday at 10:30. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.